But as I mentioned, we are joined right now by a senior NFL writer for Yahoo. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Therese Paylor is my guest. Therese, good to have you on. How are you?
Jim, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on, man.
Good to have you back on. Appreciate the visit. Let me start with the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is coming off a monster game. And as you've written, he's on pace to throw for more than 4,600 yards, 30 touchdowns, just five INTs. There was a lot of talk during the offseason about the relationship between Rodgers and Matt LaFleur. So what's your sense as to the nature of that relationship right now?
Well, I always thought it was interesting that, Rodgers has done so much winning in his career. Certainly he's got a certain idea about the way he wants to do things. And that happens with most of us, right? As we get older in our careers and we get more experience and we have success, we have a certain way we want to do things. And at some point, kind of what you need from a superior or a coworker or anyone you work with kind of changes, right? Well, I thought that's kind of where we were entering with Rodgers. And it's one of the reasons I thought that LaFleur had a chance to be a really good match with him. I had a chance to visit with LaFleur for about 15 minutes, a pretty good amount of time, in August. And I could just tell by his way, he was open to a lot of things. He's only 4 years older than Rodgers. You know, and I like the juxtaposition of his personality, which seemed pretty studious, pretty laid back, with Rodgers, who's opinionated. And he can be pretty funny, too. I like the fact he gives opinions. But I could just see those two working well together. And lo and behold, they're 6-1. There's new offense. Rodgers has really taken well to it. And I think they're a pretty good partnership at this point.
Therese Paylor is joining us. All right, so what about Rodgers and that offense? What do you make of how he's playing in the offense? How does he look to you in that offense?
He looks great to me. Look, I think the Sean McVay offense is a pretty good baseline for a way to win in the NFL. Pre-snap motion, you do some RPOs, and you run play action. And then, I mean, just on its surface, a quarterback can win with that as long as you can run the football. Right? And the Packers can run the ball. Aaron Jones is a really good back. The Cowboys found that out a few weeks ago. Now, when you have just that in a scheme that can work when you run the football in and of itself, when you add that to the quarterback who has the Houdini-like quality, the rare X-factor gene of being able to escape the pocket, make things happen, make crazy throws, you get an offense that's really difficult to defend. And I just like the fact that it's a long season. Rodgers is 35 because of the nature of the offense and the way it's schemed. He doesn't have to do everything. He can kind of save his guns for when his bullets for when he really needs it. And I just like the marriage of scheme and player here. And so far, they've gotten off to a start that justifies that faith.
Therese Paylor is my guest. So they're playing really good football right now. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you've got a segment for Yahoo called Therese's Tape. And in the latest episode, you focus on the Bears offense. Lots of blame to go around. Before we get into the details of Mitchell Trubisky, how much of the issues that they're having there on the offensive side is about coaching and scheme and people not named Trubisky making mistakes?
Right. So when an NFL offense is struggling, and this isn't the sexy answer, but this is real, Jim. When the NFL offense is struggling, it's never like black and white. There's always a shade of gray here. So most of the time, they all own a part of it. You know, this is the same scheme that worked last year. You know, like Matt Nagy, I covered him in Kansas City for 5 years. Trust me when I tell you, he is exceedingly competent. He knows what he's doing. I think that there's some issues starting off with running the football. They haven't been able to run the ball efficiently. They're averaging 3.4 yards per carry. That's not good. And that's not where it needs to be to help lift the quarterback who to this point hasn't proved he could be a Mahomes or a Watson and win by throwing the ball a lot, right? So that's a problem in and of itself. Get the run game going. These guys up front, establish the run. Maybe Nagy can do some things scheme-wise to help, but hey, start there. But from there, you look at the way Trubisky's playing. I did a deep dive on the tape, Jim. I'm telling you, he doesn't look like the same guy he was last year. And a big problem is that he's not running. Now, I don't know if that's because they told him, hey, don't run, don't create, don't do the second reaction stuff as much. I'd be a little surprised if that was the case because, again, I covered Nagy for a while. He encouraged Alex Smith to do that. But that was a big reason Trubisky made a lot of plays last year, Jim. It was. And he averaged 5 carries a game last year. Then he got hit by Harrison Smith. It dropped to 3. And this year he's averaging 1 a game. On Sunday, he didn't even run once. That ability to get out of pocket and be a playmaker and run around is something that makes him dangerous. And I think it gives him confidence, too. I'd like to see him get back to that if he can.
Therese Paylor is my guest. Now, you mentioned you spent some time in Kansas City. In fact, you worked at Kansas City beat for 5 years. So how do you expect, changing topics, how do you expect that the team, the Chiefs, are going to handle Patrick Mahomes and his injury?
I think they should play it smart. I think they should take it slow, because this isn't just about 2019, Gene. This is about 2020, 2021, 10 years, 15 years down the line. You can go half a century without having a generational player like this. And believe me, I know. I grew up in Detroit, let alone at quarterback. Now, the Lions had Barry Sanders, but they never had the quarterback. So I think you got to be careful in a situation like this. Now, the flip side of that is the players are complete warriors. I've been here in Kansas City. I still live here for the durations of Mahomes' career. And I'm going to tell you, the kid loves football. He's completely about ball. And he understands how important it is for QB1 to be out there on the field with his teammates. He's got that. Just like Favre, just like Stafford. Stafford has it too, right? He gets it. So he's going to be pushing a return as soon as possible. He loves the game of football. He's not collecting a check. He just wants to be out there with his boys balling. So the thing is that if the Chiefs have their way, maybe, you know, they kind of hold him out longer than he wants to go. But we already know he's a fast healer and a warrior. So, you know, that timeline, it wouldn't be a surprise to see it get sped up a little bit.
Yeah, so many times you got to protect these guys from themselves because they want to be out there so badly. Therese Paylor is my guest. What about the 49ers? Now, when they were 2-0, there was a whole lot of, yeah, but who have they really played? Except now they're 6-0, and the defense is dominating opponents. How special is that unit?
Yeah. I wrote a column about this earlier this week. I hope people check it out. Their defense is one of the most fun to watch in the NFL right now. I do a lot of tape work. Love watching the All-22. I got it set up in my office with the projector and everything. I love it, right? And I'm telling you, watching the 49ers play defense, especially on passing downs and nickel, dime, that type of deal, is a lot of fun. And a big reason for that is that the investment they've made on the defensive line and the front seven has really started to pay off. Across the board, they have men that can beat you one-on-one with pass rush moves. Nick Bosa is the odds-on favorite to be the defensive rookie of the year. I'm telling you, the man's on pace to have 26 quarterback pressures at 21 years old. I mean, you know, that's something. 11 sacks, too. So Bosa's fantastic. D Ford, my guy from Kansas City, is only playing like 40% of the snaps, but as a designated pass rusher, he's been fantastic. Look, they can beat you up front in multiple ways. Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator who I wrote about earlier this week, is kind of got a je ne sais quoi about him, right? Mainly because of the sideline yells and screams. And when you add that to the way they perform, that's the kind of thing that can get you hired. Their second-level linebackers aren't just good. They can run, hit, and cover, which isn't that hard. I mean, which is hard to find between Quan Alexander and Fred Warner. I really like those guys. And then the secondary is proven to be opportunistic. So, look, they haven't faced a difficult schedule, but they've gotten off to the kind of start that I think projects well in the future. And I think they've got confidence, and I think they're going to keep rolling.
Just rolling topics with Therese Paylor. We're talking NFL. You know, I had Pierre Desir from the Colts on earlier in the first hour. A lot of people, Therese, freaked out when Andrew Luck announced his retirement, but internally, the Colts seem to have a lot of confidence in Jacoby Brissett. How do you like that combination of Brissett and Frank Reich?
Jim, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't surprise me. One of my training camp visits this year was to Indianapolis, and I've also covered their general manager, Chris Ballard, because he's from Kansas City, right? So I can tell you this right now. You know, I heard in August, like, hey, you know, Brissett's a guy they really like. That's a guy that the most important thing to me that really stood out to me was that I heard that teammates rallied behind him. Even before the Luck news came out, he's a guy that his teammates really play for. And I've covered this league long enough to know that that really matters, right? Like, guys can go to an extra level when they're going to battle with a quarterback they believe in and want to see succeed. And I think that Brissett's a guy like that. So you take that aspect of it, combined with one of the best play callers in football, someone who's still underrated, in my opinion, Frank Reich, who is fantastic at scheming his offense to what his players do best. I'm not surprised they're off to this start at all. I think this is a team that's got a chance to win 10 games. They're going to be right there in the mix for that division crown with the Houston Texans. And I think in a lot of ways, the Colts are better off with Frank Reich. Like they got one of the best coaches in football, a guy who, looking back, you got to look at the Philadelphia Super Bowl a couple years ago and how things have turned out and be like, man, you know, Frank Reich probably played a pretty big part in that, right? I think this is a team that's well run. They have a ton of cap space. They have a ton of assets. Wouldn't be surprised to see him do something over the next week to maybe give him a boost as far as making a trade goes. Indianapolis is really well positioned, not just this year, but for the next five, next 7 years, because they've got one of the best young offensive lines in football and a man who really knows how to evaluate talent in Chris Ballard.
Therese Paylor is my guest. One last thought then. You got the trade deadline coming up, and the Colts have got Denver this weekend. They just moved Emmanuel Sanders. Does it feel to you like a total teardown for the Broncos, and could you see them moving more players?
I could see them moving more players. You know, we look at a player like Derek Wolfe, for example. It's certainly Chris Harris, who's at the point in his career, he wants to win. You know, and it's hard for me to see a whole lot of wins coming to the Broncos at this point. You know, they looked terrible on Thursday night against the Chiefs. The Chiefs defense has struggled all year. They weren't able to put up much of a fight on that side of the ball, the Broncos offense was. I think this is a tear now. I just don't see it coming together for them. I think they've got one of the worst passing offenses in football. I do like the running game. Like, I do like Philip Lindsay. I love him. I love the guy. And obviously Freeman's a good player too. I think that they just got to start this thing all over again. And that's okay. Like, you can rebuild a team in a year or two in today's NFL, but you got to realize where you are. You got to realize where you're at and like adjust to that. Trade some players for pieces and picks, you know, rebuild this thing and get ready to compete in 2021. Because Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere. You better build a defense that can beat him, and you better make sure that you have an offense that can score with Kansas City in the AFC West as well.
He is a senior NFL writer for Yahoo. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. He is Therese Paylor. Therese, great job. Appreciate you, and it's always good to have you on the show.
Hey, Jim, thanks for the Vine. You know, I've been listening for a long time. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you, too. Thank you so much. It's a good conversation right there. Covering a lot of ground, lots of NFL. All right, so Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, what do you know? Maybe there was never, ever serious strain or tension between those guys. Maybe it was always more smoke than fire. 6-1, he looks great, they look great. And then you've got the Bears. I mean, is this a surprise to anybody at all that Mitch Trubisky is not who the Bears thought he was? That Mitch Trubisky is not going to be Deshaun Watson? That he's not Patrick Mahomes?